That's funny you mention that. I used to work with my dad, and the joke was, you do great work, just not much of it. Did you hear that? I used to work with my dad. He said, you do great work, Keith, just not much of it.
At least you didn't call me. Right. You got called manual labor.
Right, right. Thank you, folks, for being here. Everybody's got a full belly, I hope, and we're still below the time limit where you go into the food coma, as we were talking about, so try to keep you awake. If I see anybody dozing or nodding, I'm going to get louder or pound the pulpit. That I think that used to work back in the day, right, Mike?
Yeah.
Still works.
Still
works, that's right. Amen!
Oh, no. Yeah. Amen.
Hey, that's right. So for our online audience, if you guys would like one of these books, things I have been taught from the Bible that are not true by Mr. Mike Stewart, and Jesus Wasn't Talking to You by Mr. Terrence McLean. We are still giving these away for free. If you would like one, please email your physical address at info@ohiogracebible.com. So, info@ohiogracebible.com. It's okay. So, I married a preacher's daughter. So for some of you don't know that. My father-in-law was a youth pastor and associate pastor at the church that you guys attended for 20-some years?
Long time.
The running joke there was whenever you prepare a message, it was 3 points in a poem. Get them in, get them out, you're done.
Amen.
And so, since I have never done that, today you have 3 points in a poem.
All right.
Per the advice of my beautiful wife, so the format my father-in-law used to use was, we're talking about prayer today. Here's your first one. We'll start with that. Typically, he would give you a handout. I didn't go that far, so. No handouts for you.
You're still young.
Still young, still working on it. So the topic again is prayer. And there's a lot of questions that go along with that. Why should we pray? How should we pray? What should we pray for? Why is prayer so confusing? Right. So what is prayer? So there's a whole bunch of things that goes along with that. And we're not going to get into deep detail. But what I'd like to focus on today is what does prayer do? A lot of times when we learn right division of our Bible and we understand that we cannot command God into what we want Him to do, tendencies are to just stop praying altogether. Because you've been taught for so long that if you cannot pull God's ear down, what's the purpose? Right? If you cannot command Him to do something for you, if you cannot change a physical, monetary something need, what's the point anymore? When we get uncomfortable back in the time when we used to not really understand right doctrine, right division, when we get uncomfortable, you would want that changed. You wouldn't be used to being uncomfortable. You would want Him to change something. When we finally understand that we can understand what God's will is for our lives, we stop. And I think there's a few reasons for that, but the one I want to focus on is sometimes on purpose, sometimes on accident we stop. Because we find out our prayer was totally off base, right? What I want you to understand is just because it may have been off base or you didn't understand what you were praying for, there's good news. And that is Romans 8:26. Would you please turn to Romans 8:26? There is good news, even though you were praying wrong. Do I have that written down right? Yes. So the good news is, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So even though you were doing it wrong, the Spirit stepped in and said, no, what he or she really means is, etc., etc., etc. Which is outstanding, because I've prayed a lot of prayers that were not correct. The Spirit makes intercession, so your prayers are not wasted.
That's awesome.
So, first point. Prayer prepares. Oops. Prayer prepares. Spring is one of my favorite seasons. It's not my personal favorite, but it is one of them. Reason being is we have a garden. Sarah and I started our garden back in 2007 when we first moved in. Has anyone ever rototilled the ground when it's just grass? Just grass, okay? Not dirt that's already been tilled for years and years. I'm talking about you are starting from scratch. So we did this 14 years ago at our property. And let me tell you something, it is tough, okay? It is tough. So, yeah, pack a lunch. Get your gloves. Get your boots. Get your rub, whatever, you know, your muscle ache stuff, because it's going to hurt.
Amen.
I like having a garden because I get hungry, and I like fresh food. That's the leading cause of growing a garden, right? So 14 years we've been working that soil, adding to it fertilizers, many natural kinds, minerals, work, blood, sweat, tears, just tilling in more dirt, special kinds of dirt, working the soil, burning leaves in it, adding other things. It's taken a lot of work. Last night, we were outside working in the garden, and Sarah goes, you know what? If I looked at our garden, I would say, that's pretty good soil. You have nice soil in your garden. But it's not because it didn't take us years to continually work at it. Prayer is like that. Prayer is like a giant tiller in your spiritual walk or life. Prayer prepares you. It softens you. It works to clear the clumps of stuff that are not useful.
Amen.
It clears the rocks, breaks the roots that are in it and that are in the way. This can also be uncomfortable. I used to till up my grandma's garden, and she had a front tine tiller. And when she referred to tilling the garden, she would ask, are you going to go ride the bull? Because that's what it was like. It would want to take off without you. And it was... it was like riding a bull. And she got the biggest laugh out of that. But that's where I learned riding the bull. That was her phrase. Front tine tillers are no joke, just a side note. So when we stop praying, when we get to the point, whether purposefully or not, we still should be praying all the time. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5:17. First Thessalonians 5:17. What does the word of truth say? Oops. Pray without ceasing. You are commanded to pray without ceasing. When I come home after work or whenever, when I'm at home and I'm trying to talk to my kids, and I say, hey, Ramey, hey, Caleb, how you doing? And they don't answer me. just a touch frustrating. If I'm yelling for one of them, Caleb! And I know he's in the next room, or he's outside, and he's ignoring me and not talking to me, I'm waiting for a response. I want to talk to my children. I want my children to converse with me. The same thing happens with God. He wants our interaction. He wants our conversation. It is a mutual connection. Okay? He gives us his word. He would like a response. He wants to communicate with us. And this is how it should work. For when you don't pray, you're going against a direct command, not a commandment, but a command for you in this dispensation to communicate with your Father. Amen. So, point one, prayer prepares. It softens us. It clears out things. Prayer also promotes. Prayer promotes growth. One thing we've learned that if we till this soil in our garden enough, it will reduce the amount of weeds every year. We till our garden, I don't know how many times, 4 or 5 times before we even plant. And we continually soften that soil. Remove the weeds, the rocks, the stuff that we don't need. We know that we need to run that tiller through our soil to promote the plant growth. Once we get the rock and clumps of grass and roots to the surface, we need to remove them. If we don't clear those from the soil, what will happen next year? Come back up. Weeds will come back up. What if we took all those clumps of grass, rocks, and roots, weeds, sticks, and just put them in the corners? And then once we were done, we spread them all back out again. What would be the point?
We'd smack
you, because that's dumb. Yeah. It's not smart. Getting rid of those things, clearing that stuff out, is the best way to promote growth, right? We don't want to have the same thing happen over and over again. That's insanity. We get rid of the stuff we don't need. We get the stuff out to have soft, workable soil. That's how prayer works. Prayer will help you communicate and change you.
Amen.
Let's look at Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3:13. This is Paul's prayer. Ephesians 3:13 says, "Wherefore I desire that ye faint not of my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, and depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all fullness of God." You want to have good, strong roots? Make sure you have soft soil. Make sure you clear out the junk. Make sure you're clearing out the stuff that's rooted in there that should not be there. Prayer prepares, prayer promotes growth. And the third point, prayer produces results. When we apply the work and effort into our prayer life, according to the doctrine given to Paul from Jesus Christ, we realize prayer changes us. We're not using prayer to change physical, emotional, etc. We're not bending God's ear. We are communicating with God and asking Him what He would have us to do.
Amen.
Prayer softens us, it promotes growth in us, and it produces results in us. Late summer and fall is another time I enjoy. We talked about this earlier, because it produces fruit or food. When you see the results of the work you put in earlier, without that, you would not see the results. Had we not tilled the grass, weeds, and rock and roots, had we not fed the soil, softened the soil, we would not see the desired results. If you want to see results,
do the work,
pray without ceasing.
Hard work works.
Prayer is essential because it changes you. It prepares you, promotes growth in you, and produces results in you. We're going to close with Ephesians 3 through 19 again. Then I'm going to close with a prayer, or a poem, then a prayer. So we're going to read Ephesians 3:13 one more time. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not of my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, and depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God.
Amen.
We're just going to read the last two. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
Amen.
If you want to see the difference between grace and peace in reading your Bible through what was delivered to Paul, if you want to see a contrast to that, basically almost every book that Paul wrote started, "Grace and peace be unto you." Grace and peace. If you want to see a difference, go to, I believe it's Numbers 13. Let me double check this. Look up Korah and what happened to Korah. Yep. Number 16. Read about what happened to him. That's number 16. That's a neat little Bible study how God felt in the Old Testament when he is not giving you grace and peace. It's incredible. One day you're standing outside and the next day you're not. Or the same. Not the day. Same moment.
The next moment.
The next moment. The next breath. Okay, so I promised you a poem. I did not write this. I do not write poems. Sorry, honey.
She knows.
She knew that. She's known that for a long time. She's giving me grace and peace every day, so... That's right. Okay, so here's your poem. 3 points in a poem. My days are so crowded and my hours are so few. There's so little time and so much to do. My work is unfinished and my desk is piled high, and my unanswered mail seems to reach the sky. I'm pressured and pushed until I am dizzy. There's never a minute I'm not crazy busy. And sometimes I wonder as I rush through the day, does God really want me to hurry this way? Why am I impatient and continually vexed, and often bewildered, disturbed, and perplexed? Perhaps I'm too busy with my own selfish seeking to hear the dear Lord when He's tenderly speaking. I'm working so tensely in my self-centered way, I've no time to listen for what God has to say. I know in my heart I did not pay my way. At the end of the day, But God is, in His mercy, looks down on us all, and though what I've done is so pitifully small, He makes us feel welcome to kneel down and pray for the chance to do better as we start a new day. That one was by Helen Steiner Rice. I don't know her, but I like her poem. That is all I have. I appreciate y'all sitting in here, staying awake for me.
That was good.
Does anybody have anything else to add?